mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Our text this morning is the letter to Philemon in its entirety, but especially, we'll just start with these words. Paul says, accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a fellow prisoner for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. I am sending him back to you, sending him my very heart. This is God's word. Please be seated. Well, Paul did not want Onesimus to go. He wanted to keep Onesimus on as a helper, but that wouldn't have been right. Because Onesimus, you see, was a runaway slave. And he needed to go back to his rightful master in Colossae, a man by the name of Philemon. Now, both Philemon and Onesimus were Christians at the time when Paul wrote this letter, but that had not always been the case. During Paul's 3 years of ministry in Ephesus, the gospel came to a man named Epaphras, whose name is mentioned in this letter. And then Epaphras, in turn, took the gospel back to the city of Colossae, his hometown, and he started a church there in Colossae that met in the home of one of the new converts in town, this man named Philemon. And Philemon, it seems, was a man of some means. His house apparently was big enough to host the church in that city. And we also learned that he owned slaves, one of them being Onesimus. But Onesimus had run away, and he was now a fugitive slave. Well, somewhere along the way, perhaps in the city of Rome, Onesimus and Paul meet up with each other. And under Paul's influence, Onesimus also becomes a Christian, a brother in the Lord. But when Paul found out that Onesimus had run away from Philemon, he determined that Onesimus needed to do the right thing, that he had to return to his master. But because Paul also loved Onesimus and realized that he was in deep trouble with his master and also under Roman law, he sent along with Onesimus a personal letter to Philemon, imploring Philemon to forgive Onesimus and to receive him back, not as a slave, but as a brother in the Lord. That's the letter of Philemon, from Paul, delivered by a runaway slave to his master. Now, the epistle to Philemon is definitely a minor epistle, compared to all other epistles like, you know, Romans and Corinthians and Ephesians. And because it's such a personal letter addressed primarily to one individual, you might wonder how a letter like this ever got to be in our Bibles as Holy Scripture. There are other letters that are written to individuals, letters like to Timothy and the letter to Titus. But those letters deal with a broad range of subjects that are of definite interest to the church as a whole. But this letter is unique, this letter to Philemon, because it's about a very specific matter between two individuals. So why is it of interest to us? Why is it a part of Holy Writ? Why is it even in our Bibles? Keep that question tucked away in your mind as we talk a little bit about this letter, and we'll see if we can figure it out. The letter begins, like all of Paul's letters, this way. He begins by introducing himself, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. Now he addresses it to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. So, first of all, apparently, it's not only Paul that writes this, but also Timothy along with him. And he addresses the letter primarily to Philemon, but also to Apphia, whom we believe was Philemon's wife, and to Archippus, the fellow soldier, which we take to be a reference to Archippus as the pastor of the church that meets in Philemon's house. And then, of course, he also addresses it to the entire church, which is very shrewd on Paul's part, if you think about it. By making his appeal to Philemon a matter before the whole church and even before his wife, Philemon is more likely to respond positively to Paul's appeal here. After all, how can a leader of Christ's church say no to Christ's apostle? But then the letter continues, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Then Paul says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Now, of course, Paul has in mind to ask Philemon a favor, that he forgive Onesimus, his runaway slave, and receive him back as a brother. But so far, there's no mention of that in this letter. For now, Paul is holding up Philemon as a model Christian because of his love of the Lord and of the saints, his faith, and the way he shares his faith, and the way he brings joy and comfort to Paul, and how that refreshes the saints. And you know, a cynic might say that Paul is buttering up Philemon. You know, flatter him a little bit before you ask a favor. I think he's just reminding Philemon simply who he is in Christ, so that Philemon will make the right and godly decision in this matter. And then the letter continues. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, who is my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own free will. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. He is no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Now here we get into the three-word title of the sermon today. Here Paul becomes the mediator. He comes between Onesimus and Philemon to mediate their relationship, to reconcile their relationship. He wants Philemon to receive Onesimus back, but not as a slave, as a brother in the Lord. But he doesn't want that to be a matter of obligation for Philemon. He wants Philemon to do it of his own free will. So Paul gets kind of shrewd again, doesn't he? And he slays Philemon with kindness. He says, I could have invoked my office. I could have required this of you. I could have commanded you. I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. You are a disciple. Now do as I say. But Paul does not pull spiritual rank on Philemon. Instead, he says, I'll refrain from invoking the reverence that is due to me on account of my apostolic office, and instead I will appeal to you as one brother to another. And then in a very clever play on words, Paul becomes an advocate for Onesimus. Philemon, he says, Onesimus was once useless to you. Now that's a play on words. You don't see it in the English. It's a play on words because the name Onesimus means useful. And when Paul says that Onesimus is useless, that's a pun. It's a play on words. Besides which, it was true. Onesimus, as a runaway slave and an ingrate, really was useless to Philemon. But now Paul says, as his advocate, he says, now Onesimus has become useful, just as his name implies. He's not the same man anymore. He's useful to me and to you as a brother in the Lord. As an advocate, Paul is taking up the cause of Onesimus. Take him back, Philemon. He's now a brother in the Lord. Christ has changed him. And while Paul would love to have kept Onesimus around because he was so useful to Paul in his apostolic ministry, that would not be appropriate. So, I'm sending Onesimus back to you. Please, Philemon, receive him back as a brother in the Lord. Then the letter continues. So, if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your very self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. And here Paul becomes Onesimus' redeemer. The redeemer is the one who pays the purchase price of a slave to set him free. And Paul here offers to take upon himself any outstanding debt that Onesimus may owe to Philemon. And mind you, this was a significant debt. For starters, Onesimus owes his very life to Philemon. Because for a slave to run away was punishable under Roman law by death. And also, Philemon was out a bunch of money that he would have to spend to replace Onesimus and the work he was doing, the value of his slave. And one more thing, it seems that Onesimus may well have stolen from Philemon on the way out the door to support his life as a fugitive. Perhaps he took some money or some possessions as he made his getaway. At any rate, the debt that Onesimus owes to Philemon is a huge debt, much larger than Onesimus could ever pay. And so Paul says, put that all on my account. Charge it to me. I will pay it. And he becomes the redeemer of Onesimus, pays the price so that Onesimus can be free. And then you kind of have to chuckle at what Paul says next in verse 19. He says, I'll pay the debt, to say nothing of you owing me your very life. Subtle, huh? In other words, you know, Philemon, it was through the preaching of the gospel, my preaching of the gospel, that you were redeemed from your slavery to sin, that you were saved for eternity, that you were spared damnation. Oh, Onesimus, I won't bring that up, but, you know, I just to mention it, I'm not going to dwell on it. But you owe me your life, Onesimus. I'm just saying. And then the final word in the letter is just one practical little matter, and then greetings, and then a blessing. He says, at the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers I will be graciously given to you. He's hoping to get out of prison and to come to Colossae. And then he says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. All right, back to the question then. Why is this letter contained in our Bibles as part of Holy Writ? And you're tempted to give a couple of simple answers. It's there because of the moral lessons that we learn. This is a book about the reconciliation of two people who've been estranged from each other. And yes, it is important that we seek to reconcile with one another when there is something between us. All right, we could draw that lesson from Philemon. Or we could talk about the gentleness and the kindness of Paul in dealing with Philemon. And we ought to be kind and gentle with each other as well. Okay, that's a good moral lesson as well. More often than not, though, those who use a moralistic interpretation of the book cite Paul's integrity in doing the right thing even when it was hard to do it and when it was costly to do it. And, oh yeah, that's a good moral lesson to be sure. Because it would have been a lot easier for Paul to gloss over the sins of Onesimus and to excuse and to justify them. You could almost hear him saying to Philemon, you know, Philemon, slavery is unjust after all. And Onesimus was treated like property, which is beneath the dignity of any human being who is created in the image of God. And yes, Onesimus was justified in running away. And he could have glossed over his sins like that. But Paul would have none of these kinds of justifications. It's God who justifies. And having been justified, our duty is simply to honor the governing authorities that have been established by God. Not even an apostle of the Son of God could just dismiss the law of the land and try to pretend as though Onesimus were a free man. Only Philemon could set Onesimus free. Only Philemon could cancel his debt. And so Paul appeals to Philemon as a brother in Christ, as one whose debt was forgiven by Christ, that he do the same for Onesimus. So yeah, that's a good moral lesson that we could take from this reading. We need to stop justifying our sins and glossing over them. We've all done that, haven't we? We try to justify what we do. Oh, what's wrong with, you know, not declaring a little bit of my income to the IRS? I pay so many taxes as it is, and the government wastes so much of my money, and a lot of it, I don't even agree what they spend it on. And all right, so I slack off at work a little bit. I don't give 100%, but neither does anybody else. Why should I break my back when they're not breaking theirs? Oh, yeah, and I drink a little. All right, so I drink a little much, maybe. It's a hard life, and I need to escape once in a while. I'm not hurting anyone. And work is hard, so I party hard to make up for it. No big deal. Yeah, I know, so I don't treat my parents with the respect and the honor that I know that they're due, but they just don't get me. They don't understand our generation and the world that we live in. You know, do I need to go on? If I keep it up here, I might get pretty close to your sin and the way you justify it and gloss over it and rationalize it. The point is, you know, for every sin we commit, we always seem to find a way to justify it, to gloss over it. Instead of owning up to the guilt, we make excuses. We try to reason our way out of having to feel guilty or having to say, I'm sorry. But we're only fooling ourselves, aren't we? As a Christian, we are not called to justify our sins or to excuse them, but to confess them, to repent of them, and by faith to know that in the forgiveness of Christ, there we are justified. It is He who paid the debt as our Redeemer to set us free. Aha! And there, you see, is the real reason why this epistle is in the Scriptures. Not just for the moral lessons, that's too simplistic. There is so much more here than moral lessons. Paul, in this letter, is painting us a portrait of our Lord and Savior Jesus. You might even say that in his dealings with Philemon and Onesimus, Paul is Christ's avatar, to use a word that's popular these days. He embodies Christ in this situation. Think of it. When Paul pleads for mercy for Onesimus, he does so in a most Christ-like way. And to make that point, all you have to do is compare the words of Paul to Philemon to the words of the gospel of Jesus Christ to us. Think about it. As a mediator between Paul and Philemon, Paul said, Philemon, I appeal to you for Onesimus, receive him back as a brother. What does the gospel say? Christ is our mediator. And we read in 1 John, if anybody does sin, we have one who pleads to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's come between us and the Father to reconcile us as our mediator. As an advocate for Onesimus, Paul said, Onesimus has been changed. He's become my own son, my heart. He's a brother in Christ. Well, Christ is also our advocate before the Father. As we read this morning, to all who receive Him, who believe on His name, He gives the power to become the children of God. And as the Redeemer of Onesimus, Paul said, if he owes anything, charge it to me. I'll pay it. Well, Christ is our Redeemer. For the gospel says in the letter to the Romans, who shall lay anything to the charge of those whom God has elected? It is God who justifies. And now we see why this letter to Philemon is included in the scriptures. This is a portrait of Christ, who pleads to us on our behalf to the Father. He pleads as our mediator. He says, Father, receive them as you would receive me. He pleads to the Father on our behalf as our advocate. And he says, Father, these who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, they used to be slaves to sin. But now they are my children. They've changed. They are covered in my righteousness. And then as our Redeemer, Jesus pleads before the Father, Father, they were slaves to sins, but you charged their sins to me at the cross. And there I paid the price to set them free. And so instead of running away from God, like a frightened slave, fearing Him, we draw near with a true heart. We confess our sins. We flee to His mercy, casting our sins upon Christ, who is our mediator and our advocate and our Redeemer. In His name, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.